3 a.m. Tales of Terror contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
So welcome to another episode of 3 a.m. Tales of Terror. You should know by now who we are, hopefully.
Say my name. Nope, two different people.
What?
You went with that and I was going Breaking Bad.
Oh, I've never seen Breaking Bad, so I don't know.
You know who I am. Say my name.
Oh, I don't.
I'm the man that killed Gus Fring.
I watched like maybe the first episode of Breaking Bad and that was it. I didn't really care about the whole
anyway.
The whole meth garden thing that he had going on.
Meth garden?
Isn't that what he does?
I don't think he grows it. I think he makes it.
Okay.
You know, like meth is not like naturally occurring. Like he doesn't have like a plot.
Okay.
Man, meth's coming in good this season.
No! Okay. So anyways, this episode, we're going to be talking about haunted lighthouses. They're all in the United States. I mentioned one that's not in the United States, but we don't talk about it. Because we talk about one in North Carolina that I have been to, but I have not walked up the steps of it because lazy. So
no.
It's like 230 some steps. I don't know. I have it written down.
That's it?
Yeah.
Dude, that's not that
much. But you have to walk all the way up it, and you have to walk all the way back down.
No. Is that how stairs work? Damn, boo.
I've seen the lighthouse. I've seen a lot of lighthouses in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's almost like we're known for them.
No, it's almost like I've actually been to them.
With a forehead that big, you'd be your own lighthouse.
Stop. Okay, so the reason, though, that I wanted to do lighthouses, well, one, I've wanted to do lighthouses for a while, but the last story, the last lighthouse that we talk about is in New Jersey, and it has sightings from the Jersey Devil, which I thought was really cool because we had talked about that before. I think it was an episode me and Charlie did, not you. So, because we talked about the Jersey Devil and something else in the same episode, and I can't remember. That was so long ago. But anyways, are you going to mess with him? Are you going to wear those pants out in public?
No, I should probably change it. I didn't know they were my work pants. I ruin everything I fucking own, mm-hmm. Like pants-wise.
Aren't those the pants from the jail?
Huh? No.
Oh.
No, this is Red Guard that I put in at mom's house.
That's right. Okay.
And she splashed me with the shit.
Okay, anyways. So we're going to talk about the first lighthouse. There's several different lighthouses that we talk about. It's like, I don't want to, I want to say it's like 5 or 6. Some of them are shorter, some of them are longer. So.
Giggity.
Yeah, and only one of them is in, oh, hold on. It's not that many. Okay. Hold on, let me just go through. So we talk about the first one we're going to talk about is the Battery Point Lighthouse in Crescent City, California.
Battery.
The second one is St. Simon's Lighthouse in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. Then we're talking about St. Augustine's Lighthouse in St. Augustine, Florida. That one's a... Oh, I was going to say that one's a super short one, but it's
Isn't
not.
Isn't that where Pam and Terry live?
I don't know if they live in St. Augustine or if they live right outside of it. But I know they live near it because they've been to that lighthouse.
That's where they lived.
Mm-hmm. And then we talk about Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, which is in North Carolina. And then
that's the one I dressed up for in elementary school.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one is, I looked up a way to say this, and I hope I say it right. I think it's Absecon Lighthouse in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It's the last one. That's the one where the Jersey Devil sightings were. So
it's Yankees. It's probably Absecon.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's Absecon or Absecon. I thought it was Absecon, but I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. I could go both ways.
Yeah. Well, it's Jersey, so it's going to be said with an accent in some way, shape, or form. So I just don't know which one it is.
Absecon Harbor.
That sounds like Boston. The Harbor.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, it's
you kind park of... the car in the harbor yard. That was a really bad accent.
That was awful.
Well, I'm not a Yankee.
Well, neither am I, but you got to be fluent in Surinese. Brian Denny taught me that one.
I can be fluent in Surinese now because Elizabeth is from Surrey County.
God darn boy, you know me. I got to get this paperwork done, boy, you know me.
I can understand Southern. If you're below the Mason-Dixon, I can more than likely understand you. Unless you're my stepdad's sister. She's from Alabama, and I can't understand a word that woman says half the time. So
you park the car and hide, but yeah, why does it sound like so painful when you do it?
Because I've never, what, I was born and raised down here. I'm not my mother. I wasn't born and raised upstairs.
I was born and raised in New Hampshire, but I can still.
Well, we're not all you and Will. We can't just do an accent off the drop of a hat.
Hey, I'm walking over you. You're talking to my guy all wrong.
Anyways, so at First Lighthouse, we're going to talk about is bat. This is a Battery Point Lighthouse in Crescent City, California. So, located mere meters away from the cold waters of the Pacific Ocean, atop the steep, unforgiving California cliff sides, sits a historical lighthouse by the name of Battery Point Lighthouse. Battery Point Lighthouse, also known locally as the Beacon of Northern California, has sat on the rocky coast side of Crescent City, California since 1856. The first lighting of the original oil light was December 10th of that year, but it wasn't until Christmas Day that the lighthouse had its first keeper. Oh, God, I hope I say this right. Theophilus? Magruder. Sure. Magruder held the position of keeper for 3 years. What?
I'm sorry, the last name. This reminds me of MacGruber. MacGruber!
Who is that?
Don't worry. You wouldn't care. Don't worry about it. It's not important.
Okay.
If any guys are listening that are into stupid stuff, MacGruber!
What guy isn't into stupid stuff?
What do you mean by that? That's kind of sexist.
Well, if the shoe fits.
We're not talking about shoes. That's a woman thing.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You sexist.
Magruder held the position of keeper for 3 years.
Magruder!
His annual, yes, annual salary was $1,000. I know, right? The state of California. That's crazy. I wonder what that is today in California times.
Keep reading. I have the power of the internet.
Because I know California is expensive out there, so I can only imagine. So 1856. See what that is. The state of California issued a pay cut to a few different lighthouses, including Battery Point in 1859. Following that pay cut, Magruder stepped down from the position but stayed in Crescent City until his death in 1886. Reportedly, his time there was fairly uneventful. For a decade and a half, the lighthouse sat nearly empty. There were locals that would upkeep the light, but no true keepers stayed on the property.
Conversion rate?
Yes.
$1 in 1856.
Okay.
Is equivalent to $36.89. So, he made about $37,000 a year.
Okay, so that's normal. Well, that's normal for here, but not for California. You should make more in California.
So,
because
he made like $17, $18 an hour.
Yeah, but the cost of living in California is a lot higher than here.
Yeah, but he's not paying rent. He lives in a lighthouse.
That's true, too. That actually probably does sound right for a lighthouse keeper over there. Because you're just being paid to look after it. I mean, you live there. Most of the time, you live there.
Yeah, you live. Normally, you live in the lighthouse. Most of the time, they bring you supplies. So, I mean.
Well, sometimes. It depends, like, because some lighthouses now have, like, they're by themselves, like you have the lighthouse by themselves, and then you have the house off to the side. They're not all connected like that anymore.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, you get free room and board. So, I mean, hey, I'd take $37,000 a year and no rent.
I mean, yeah. So.
That wouldn't bother me none. Not in California, though, but.
Okay. Charles Edwards, I don't know why these years are in here, but it's the years that they were
the keepers.
Okay, so Charles Edwards was a keeper in 1860. Dougal S. Dougald? Dugald S. Sartwell was the keeper from 1860 to 1862. George Washington Emery was 1862 to 1866. And John Hennessy was 1866 to 1875. Those were helpers through the years. The waves and winds of the vast ocean swept much of the new building feeling away, thus bringing alone the lonely feeling of abandonment to the lighthouse. The exterior walls were mostly wooden, as well as the inside walls and flooring of the second level. The water damage the lighthouse had suffered was immense. Even the road leading up to the lighthouse disappeared in high tide for most of the day, making the property even harder to reach. St. George Reef sat a little over 6 miles northwest of Battery Point Harbor. They erected a similar lighthouse on the reef in 1892. Though many sailors felt it still felt it didn't light up the waters enough for safe passage, opting to stay overnight in the bay before trying to dock in the morning. The harbors in Crescent City experienced only one fatal shipwreck before the state decided to find a permanent keeper to relight Battery Point's lighthouse. The second permanent keeper of Battery Point, John Jeffrey, started in 1875. He, along with his wife and four children, lived on the grounds of the lighthouse. Jeffrey tried slowly to fix up what he could of the nearly 20-year-old lighthouse. Their lives were as peaceful as it could be on the little isle for about 4 years. Tragically, in 1879, a massive wave struck the kitchen, which had been built on the west side of the building. The addition's chimney fell in, and the connecting stove toppled through the floor, starting a fire inside the home. The family all frantically drew water from the well to attempt to put the flames out, only to have the fire snuffed by a second enormous wave.
I mean, hey.
Yeah. Thankfully, none of the family members had been hurt. But
that would be a roller coaster.
There goes their
house. Your house collapses.
Yeah.
Lights on fire. Poseidon's got you.
Literally. I wonder what that was, 1879. I wonder what event that was. It had to, I wonder, probably what hurricane? Storm. I wonder what hurricane that was.
Let's yeah, I don't see. Think they really named them back then.
Probably, but I'm going to look it up while you read.
I don't think they started naming hurricanes
till I'm early going 1900s. To look up what it was, because we don't get tsunamis.
I mean, we didn't
well, even... I don't know. California does get a lot of earthquakes. It could have been.
Do you know why?
Why?
Maybe it's because they face, you know, the Ring of Fire.
I fell in.
No, the Ring of Fire is...
They also...
Volcanoes outside of Japan.
Yeah, but California is also on a whole-ass tectonic plate. Like, that's what it is.
Well, technically, we're all on whole-ass tectonic plates. They're just on a fault.
Wait, okay. Will you read?
No, we're going to learn you some stuff.
I've seen San Andreas.
Oh, my God. I've seen the Titanic, too. Doesn't mean I'd be a better frickin' captain. I couldn't be worse.
You might.
I couldn't be worse. Oh, I've never sunk a boat.
It wasn't his fault.
Allegedly.
It wasn't his fault.
So, anyway... This wasn't the last or even the most devastating storm to hit Crescent City. The worst seen by coastal town was the tsunami of 1964. You know, if you just waited, you'd
So, okay, so it was a tsunami.
Dumbass.
See, I told you they get. We don't get tsunamis out here because we don't have earthquakes like they do.
It's almost like we're not facing the Ring of Fire.
I don't know what that.
The Ring of Fire is a ring of volcanoes underwater that cause earthquakes and eruptions, and that's normally what messes Japan up.
Oh. We just have Yellowstone that hasn't erupted.
Rip?
Stop.
Rip? The earthquake that caused the massive wave hit Alaska near Prince William Sound. The shockwave caused the waves to flood the city with 600-mile-per-hour bursts of thousands of gallons of water. It was reported to have taken the lives of 11 men, women, and children and destroyed over 25 blocks of city. Amazingly, the lighthouse stood strong through the chaos.
600 mile per hour and it only killed 33 people?
What?
That's what it says.
No, 11. Comprised of men, women, and children.
Okay, so 600 mile per hour gushes of water only killed 11 people?
I mean, 600 mile an hour really ain't that fast for a tsunami? I mean, it's fast, but it ain't that fast.
No, well, I don't know. I don't live in tsunami territory, so.
Do you know why?
Shut the fuck up.
Do you know why?
I think I know why.
Why?
Because we don't live in a fucking Ring of Fire.
No. Nobody lives in the Ring of Fire. They live near it.
This is not a history lesson.
You people say men don't listen. But the keepers, Clarence and Peggy Coons, had the only front row seats to the carnage. Their lives afterwards were haunted by more than just memories of the horrific event. The tsunami devastated the town and its inhabitants. The wreckage that was swept out to sea, brimming with personal belongings from over 250 homes. After the water retreated, the families of Crescent City began to rebuild. To the humans' lives lost, they were never truly removed from the sea. The following years is when the Coons began to witness the souls of the lost find their way towards the beacon of Battery Point. Damn, it'd be fucking crazy having all them bodies float back up.
Oh my god. I know.
I bet that stank.
Yeah, probably.
Surprised there's really anything left of them, because most of the time...
Well, no, the water... Well, the water probably... That too, but the water probably helped preserve them too.
Yeah, I'm talking more so about birds and fish eating them.
Well, yeah, but... I don't know if there would be... How many years was that? How long was it after they started seeing the people?
Like a couple months.
Oh, that's why.
No one knows the names of the spirits that have found themselves in or around the property. Peggy Coons was the first reported to hear the wet footsteps coming from the dark rocks below the lighthouse. When she went to help the person she believed was there, there was only wind. From then on, not many keepers stayed long enough due to the weird phenomenon that occurred there. Some have said that the longest-lasting keeper, John Jeffrey Hemerheimer Schmidt, is the man behind the loud bootsteps.
Okay.
You can hear climbing the stairs to the light. Local legend aside, it would make sense that the keeper of 40 years may still be doing his duties after passing. He was the only recorded death on the Battery Point Lighthouse grounds. Though his death was not violent or even sudden, his soul may be so connected to the responsibilities he held in life that he decided to stick around. His passing does not explain the little child's laughter sometimes heard in the main areas or the living quarters, though. Today, the lighthouse still holds silent beauty over the Crescent City coast. Its light still shines bright for all ships and land-bound visitors within 14 miles of the island. The owners now offer historical tours along with a few nightly ghost hunts, though I would recommend going on a dry day just in case the waves raise the spirits of those who never made it home.
Dun dun dun.
Just like they said in Bioshock, there's always a city, there's always a lighthouse.
Oh my god. So that was the story of the Crescent City Lighthouse. I'm going to do my resources as we do this because I put them in order. So my resource for that was medium.com.
No, high or low? Just medium?
Just medium. Okay, so the next one is St. Simon's Lighthouse in St. Simon's, Georgia. Did you have anything else to say about the Crescent City Lighthouse? Oh, the kids laughing. One, that's so random. And two, I would not appreciate that.
There's always kids laughing.
I know. They gotta go.
No, I'm pretty much good.
Okay.
That's all I had to say about that.
Okay, so St. Simon's Lighthouse. The St. Simon's Island Lighthouse has stood on the Georgia coast since 1872, when it was constructed by the U.S. government to replace one destroyed during Civil War. Only 8 years later, however, a violent episode occurred here that reverberated.
That was sad. Reverberate. Yeah, Ronnie Radke.
God. That reverberated through. I can't say that word without.
Reverberate.
Through the years.
You gotta give me a second. Hold on. Ooh, shit. Sorry, that's funny. God. You went straight Ronnie Radke.
I know.
You wanted to say it, dude. You wanted to say ray.
Oh, God. Okay. Through the years and developed into one of the South's... And developed into one of the South's most well-known ghost stories. Why do I have a list when I say South's?
Oh, my God, you do.
I can't say South's.
The South's?
South's. The South's. Anyways.
It's probably because you're gap-toothed. I mean, it's true.
The lighthouse keeper at the time of the 1880 incident was Frederick Osborne. With an assistant, he kept the light operating 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. With their families, they shared quarters in the adjacent lighthouse keeper's house. Osborne lived on the ground floor while his assistant lived on the second. The two floors were connected by a central stairway. Trouble began when Osborne supposedly spoke in an inappropriate manner to the wife of his assistant. An argument escalated and the assistant, John John Stevens shot Osborne.
He fucked around and found out.
The keeper died from his wounds, and Stevens was arrested and charged with murder. After hearing the circumstances of the case, however, a jury acquitted him of all charges.
Your Honor, my client fucked around and found out. What it was is he was probably flirting with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Homie said no,
yeah.
Slapped him in the face with a glove, and said, I challenge you to a duel. And
yeah. Then, it sounds a little more like cut and dry than that. It sounds like he was just flirting, and Stevens was like, no thanks, boom, boom, bye, and then got charged with murder.
Well,
I don't understand how he got acquitted of it, though. I don't know what that means. After hearing the circumstances of the case.
I mean, you're sitting on a jury, a dude blew some guy's brains out, and you're sitting there and you're like, why'd you do it? Well, he was flirting with my wife. I told him not to. He kept doing it, so I blew his brains out. I'd be like, well.
Well. Thank God.
I mean, I get it.
It was not long after that strange reports of a ghost at St. Simon's Island soon began to appear in newspapers across the country. One account published in 1908 described how the wife of a later keeper began to have problems with the mechanism of the lighthouse while her husband was away. Remembering that Frederick Osborne had once promised her that if she ever needed help, all she had to do was call. In her frustration, she called out to him, "Well, come and fix it now!" So there was a clink and a rattle, and looking up, she saw the distinct figure of the French-Canadian bending over the works. Overcome by the reaction, she fainted. My God. And when she regained consciousness, the steady click-click of the works assured her that all was well with the light.
So when I die before you... Is that what's going to happen when something breaks?
Yeah.
You're going to yell at my ghost to come fix it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I can fix that.
Okay, Sam. There are some who say that Osborne's death came so suddenly that he never stopped his nightly routine of inspecting the lighthouse. I mean, yeah, he kind of got shot, and I would assume that's sudden. Like, I don't think that... That's not a natural way to die.
I mean, it's 1852, so...
It's still not a natural way to die.
Or
1850s?
1880s?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably would have got hit with, like...
It was 1880s.
So he would have got hit with, like, a 45 or a 50 cal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say it'd be pretty instant lead poisoning.
Yeah, but that's not a natural way to die. So it was sudden.
I don't understand how people say that it's not a natural way to die when lead comes from the earth. It's pretty natural.
Anyways, his figure has been seen in and around the tower, and many also claim to have heard strange footsteps going up and down the old spiral staircase late at night. So that's that story.
Do you think his footsteps reverberate?
Oh, God. If there's anybody who had that phase and knows, oh, my God.
I feel like most people that are into haunted stuff had a,
yeah.
I don't know what Ronnie Radke's band is.
Ronnie Radke was Escape the Fate.
Escape the Fate. I just know Ronnie Radke, like, as a person. Mm-hmm. I don't know the band.
It was because he was Escape the Fate, and then he stopped Escape the Fate, and now he's Falling in Reverse.
Falling in Reverse. That's what it was.
Falling in Reverse is his band now, which I think is still, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't like his, like, rap music that he is making.
It's actually not bad.
It's actually not bad.
He just did a song with Tech N9ne and Alex Terrible.
Isn't he going on tour with Tech N9ne?
He's on tour with Tech N9ne.
Yeah.
And Slaughter to Prevail.
Ugh, Daddy?
Sure.
Alex Terrible? Ugh. Let me stop. That's way off subject. Anyways.
You don't have a chance. Have you seen his wife? Look her up. I think she's a Russian supermodel. Like, no joke.
Okay, that's fine. It's not like I'm ever going to meet him. I mean, we could go to Florida.
What do you mean never meet him? If Slaughter Prevail comes to North Carolina, I'm going to see them.
Yeah, I am too.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Anyways, my resource for the St. Simon's Lighthouse was exploresouthernhistory.com. The next one is St. Augustine's Lighthouse in St. Augustine, Florida. So you're going to read about St. Augustine's?
I don't know how to read. St. Augustine's Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Why don't you do the lighthouse up in Far Harbor?
In where?
Bahaba.
I don't know what that is.
Massachusetts.
I didn't do any. I did one in New Jersey. That's about as far up as I went.
Oh.
I couldn't find one in Massachusetts.
It's called Far Harbor.
Your Far Harbor.
It's in the DLC Far Harbor for Fallout 4.
Can you read?
There is a lighthouse, though. Yeah, slit there and slurp your fucking bohongles. What? St. Augustine, Florida, the oldest city in the nation, is home to arguably the most haunted lighthouse in America. During its 100 years of existence, many lives have been lost in or around the landmark's grounds, leading us to believe that those who perished there never truly left. With a reputation for its hauntings and the history to back it up, no haunted tour is complete without a visit to the St. Augustine's Lighthouse. Now we're going to talk about the residents. The superintendent's daughters.
Yeah, so I think these residents are all like, maybe why it's haunted? Yeah, probably.
It was 1872 when Ezekiah Pitty, superintendent for St. Augustine Lighthouse Construction Project.
Is that how you say her name? Because I thought it was Hezekiah. Is it not Hezekiah?
Well, I don't think it's a woman.
Hezekiah.
He was already a year and a half into the project. He's a superintendent.
I don't think it. Okay. It's fine.
Ezekiah Pitty is probably a Jew. The king of what?
Judah.
Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
He was already a year and a half into the project and knew he would be there for a while. A true family man, he decided to move his wife and two daughters from the chill of Maine, probably Far Harbor, to the heat of the Florida coast to live with him.
No, Maine is the Bar Harbor. Not the Far Harbor. It's the Bar Harbor.
Stop talking.
Listen to Box of Oddities. It's Bar Harbor. They're from Maine. They're from where Stephen King lives.
They're from.
Well, they live in Ecuador now. Dumbass.
Given that his daughters were young, a lot of their time in St. Augustine was spent playing outside. One day, Pitty's two daughters and three of their friends were pushing each other in a small rail car that was used for transporting supplies from the nearby pier to lighthouse. This was their favorite game, and they played it often, but today was different. This time, the wheels of the rail car shifted and the children fell off the pier, plunging into the cold water below. Fortunately, a nearby construction worker saw what happened and rushed to pull the children out of the water, but sadly, not everyone made it out alive. Both of Pitty's daughters and one of their friends had drowned. Since the accident, both visitors and lighthouse workers have reported hearing girls giggling in the woods behind the watchtower. Others claim they've witnessed what looks like 4-foot-tall figures peeking around corners, which is sketchy.
Yeah, I, what was I listening to?
I already live with a 4-foot gremlin.
So there's this thing on TikTok, and this girl, she's like, tell me a ghost story that sounds fake but is actually true. And this woman, this girl did one, and she was like, she lived in her house, and her sister would always sneak into her bedroom at night.
Right.
And, oh God, if this ever fucking happened to me, I would no longer live in that house. That's for fucking sure. So her sister would always sneak into her house at night, and her bed was like ours. It was like in the middle of the room,
right,
from the door.
How most of them are, yeah.
Yeah. So, but hers was obviously a lot bigger, and she saw the door crack open and saw somebody on all fours, and she assumed it was her sister because, you know, she was crawling in there and she tried to scare her or whatever. Well, she saw the door crack open, saw a figure on all four legs, like all, you know, hands and legs, crawl, went to the end of her bed, and she was like, you know what? I saw her do it this time. I'm going to scare her, right? Gets up out of her bed, goes to the end of it. Nothing's there. And she was like, she just started fucking screaming. I was like, if I had that happen to me, like if I knew my sister was trying to like mess around with me and I was like, you know what, I'm going to get her back one time. And then to find out that some fucking ghost demon thing was crawling on all four legs, whatever it has. And woo, buddy, no longer live in that house.
I mean, I used to do that to Vicky to mess with her. It happened at mom's house. Not that. I would stand in the doorway and just stare at her just to mess with her because I knew it freaked her out. Until one night, until one night she came into my bedroom and woke me up because somebody was standing in the doorway and I was asleep.
Yeah, I'm telling,
that's a true story. You can ask.
No, I know, because there is something in your mom's. I've seen it before,
she
too.
She woke me up and was like, I need you to come in my bedroom. And I was like, I think I was like 8 or 9. And I was like, why? What's wrong? She's like, I just need you to do that. Then the next morning she told mom, because mom was like, why was Kenny because she heard us upstairs. Mm-hmm. She's like, why was Kenny in your bedroom last night? Like, are you okay? Is everything okay? Is he okay? Thing I was sick or something like that. And Vicky told her, no, I saw somebody standing in the doorway. I don't know if it was of her bedroom or of my bedroom, mm-hmm. and it freaked her out. Which, granted, there was always somebody standing in my bedroom when I was a kid, always in the corner.
Yeah, I know. I remember having that. I always had that weird feeling when, like, whenever, when we were just dating and I would come over and I didn't go out with you to, like, with your parents to help, like, the KFC jobs and shit like that.
Oh, we were laying all the floor tiles?
Oh, my God. Sometimes I could not sleep. I was like, something.
Well, see, I think.
But the dog helped. Penelope helped because she would, like, if I felt weird, I would just let her bark because at least I would have that noise. So.
I always just thought it was my Uncle Saul.
I mean, that's possible.
Watching over me. Because never did anything maleficent. Well, I mean, sometimes he'd throw shit at me, but it'd be like that.
I mean, he probably did that in real life, too, to people.
I mean, yeah, from the description that I got of him, I would imagine that he liked to mess with people. Like cigarettes, throwing cigarettes, stuff.
That if he's anything like your, if he was anything like your dad, yeah.
That's, yeah. And so that was always my guess, because he would just stand there. The figure would stand there and watch. Mm-hmm. And when I described the height and build to dad, dad would be like, yeah, I mean, that checks out. That's about his build. Because I'm built a lot like Saul, I guess. I don't know. But,
I don't know. I've only seen, obviously only seen pictures of Saul.
Tall, so. Broad-shouldered.
And only I've only seen pictures of him, like, I mean, I don't know how old he was when he died.
I'm only 5'9", but.
I know he was dead before you were born.
Yes.
Yeah, so all of us have only seen pictures of him.
Right, but the thing is, yeah, I mean, there's always somebody standing. So, I mean, I get where that chick's coming from, but.
Yeah, but something crawling. Oh, no. Mm-mm, goodbye.
I just sweep
it out. I have this fear, because I know this house is not haunted. There's enough Bibles and crucifixes.
This house physically couldn't be haunted. The land was only ever used for a garden, and we are the only owners because we built it.
I know, but, and also there's plenty of Bibles. I probably have like 10 Bibles sitting in this room right now just because I have a problem.
You know, Bibles do help a lot in like every horror movie ever.
I know, right? But there's also a crucifix, and your dad blessed the house, so it's fine. But I have this fear that I'm going to walk in the side door from any point in time of day. And freaking see something crawl across the hallway right there that's not Eli. Just scared about that. Also, I'm pretty fucking sure that there's a fucking skinwalker out here.
No, so last night what you heard, that was, because I heard it, that was a coyote going after cows, and then it was a dog winning. I heard the fight.
Oh, with the hello?
Yeah, the hello, that was a coyote.
Coyotes don't say hello.
Yeah, they do. I heard it at Triad, too, when I worked there. Oh. Late at night, when I'd bring my pistol with me.
Okay, that don't matter.
So.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
When you went inside and I was still outside smoking, mm-hmm. I heard a cow cry. Mm-hmm. And then.
Maybe that was the, oh.
Yeah, and then.
Because there was, okay, we were sitting out there and you would hear like, hello. Like, literally. And then you would hear, it'd pause, and then you'd hear, oh!
Yeah, that's a coyote. So, it's a coyote probably calling everybody else saying, hey, there's something over here. Probably either a cow got left out or mm-hmm. was away from the pack or the herd.
Right.
And then, I don't know, about 20 minutes after you went in, right before I was done smoking my cigar, oh, yeah, I heard crying. I heard.
From what?
Growling. I'm going to assume.
Did they get the cow?
No, I'm assuming the dog got the coyote.
Oh, yeah, the farmer, whoever owns that farm.
It's the farm right across the street.
Yeah.
It's his land and it's his cows, and I know he's got dairy cows.
Yeah.
So normally, if you have dairy cows, I'm going to assume he at least has a couple sheepdog
mm-hmm.
or farm dogs.
Well, probably, I mean, I hope the dog's okay, because I mean, a coyote can tear you up too.
Nah, not if he's got the cat. Not if he's got the dogs he needs.
Yeah, that's true too.
Because if he's got the dogs he needs, one coyote, it'd probably take probably about 8 or 9 of them to take a dog down.
Mm.
They just don't stand a chance, and he's probably got 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah.
And a coyote's not gonna do that. And so what probably happened was the coyote was messing with the cow.
Yeah.
And then the dog heard it, and the dog came and.
It was so scary. I was sitting there, and I just kept hearing, hello, hello. And I was like, don't fucking acknowledge it. I was like, do not look at it. Don't say anything back to it, just in case.
Bring it on.
Do not bring nothing.
What's it going to do?
You don't know.
These colors don't run.
Also, I was always scared when we got up in the morning at like 5 o'clock and left, and it was still dark outside. That every time I turned my lights on, I got in my car and I turned my lights on and it lit up the back, that I would see like a skinwalker back there.
You know, it'd be even more terrifying than that. Is the video of all the Amish people on the road? Have you ever seen that?
No,
dude, you've never seen that. So
that sounds scary, though.
Oh, it's so sketchy. Hold on.
What's that movie? It was one of the Paranormal Activities that with the Amish people. That movie was good.
Hold on.
And fucking scary, too.
Because it's like Headlights. Mm-hmm. And there's a dude with a fucking briefcase. I know it exists. I'll have to find it.
Okay, that's fine.
But, Country Roads?
Take me home?
Guys on the back roads?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like an Amish dude, like in a business suit with a suitcase. Mm-hmm. Sees the headlights, runs. Car keeps going down the road, turns it. There's like 40 of those motherfuckers just standing there. Just
mm-mm.
Briefcase, hat, just...
No.
Yeah. Anyway, off on our tangent.
Yeah.
It's more important to note that even though these girls are very much haunting the landmark, they are playful spirits. Despite their tragic end, the three children seem to be enjoying the afterlife in their old home.
I bet so. Well, see, okay, so the laughter of that would make sense because they were children. So anyways, okay. The man. Although encounters with the ghost children have been positive, there are other more sinister entities lurking within this 19th century watchtower. Possibly the most blood-curdling presence witnessed in the lighthouse is the man. Usually spotted in the basement of what used to be the lightkeeper's house, this shadow figure is known for making the room smell like cigar smoke and flooding visitors with feelings of foreboding. Is it you? Cigar smoke?
I mean, bet.
Oh my god. Perhaps the most famous encounter with the shadow figure happened in 2006 when ghost hunters visited the lighthouse. In the episode aired the same year, a black misty figure is seen approximately 2 stories above the cast's location. The man is seen peeking over a railing before turning around and vanishing. So who is he? As far as who this man is, there are a few theories. Some believe it's the ghost of William Russell, who was the lighthouse keeper during the 1850s. Russell was known for his passionate and protective personality. People believe he's only trying to look after his home and place of work, even if it means scaring off a few visitors. A more likely culprit is another lighthouse keeper by the name of Joseph Andrew. According to legend, Andrew suffered a fatal accident from when he fell from the tower in 1859. His death was so sudden, many argue he didn't realize he had died. For over 100 years, his spirit has been living in his old quarters, smoking a cigar to pass the time. Aside from its ghostly activity, this landmark is known for its innovative past, once representing modern marine transport. What are you doing?
I found the video.
Jesus. Why are they all out there like that?
Isn't that fucking sketchy?
Oh my god. I'd turn the fucking car around.
I mean, and they're all just standing there just...
Yeah, no.
Maybe they're all businessmen for the devil out to, you know, make deals.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, continue.
It's your turn.
Oh shit, my bad.
You're doing the brief St. Augustine Lighthouse history.
Sorry, I got autism go burp. Mm-hmm. I needed to find the video. The St. Augustine Lighthouse stands today where the 16th century Spanish watchtowers once stood. The construction of the lighthouse began in 1871, taking over 3 years to complete. Once it was finished, the former primitive wooden towers were taken down and replaced with the St. Augustine Lighthouse, the oldest permanent aid to navigation in North America. Atop the watchtower, a hand-blown, French-made Fresnel lens was placed, which had been designed explicitly for lighthouses. The impressive 12-foot-tall lens contains 370 hand-cut glass prisms arranged in a beehive pattern. The lighthouse stood 160 feet... Fuck!
Can you talk?
English hard. The lighthouse stood 165 feet above sea level and included a black and white banded design. To access the top, the lighthouse keeper had to climb 219 steps. After completing the trek upwards, the spectacular panoramic views of the Atlantic Ocean were something to look forward to. Each lighthouse on the east coast of the U.S. has a distinct appearance and lightning characteristic known as the Night Mark, which sounds like a really cool like board game.
Yeah. Well, there's a fantasy book called Light Lark, and I want to say that the second book in it is like... is night something like that too? So then
this mark was used by sailors to identify their location and distance from the shore. Initially flashing every 3 minutes, the St. Augustine Lighthouse's night mark now flashes every 30 seconds. The St. Augustine Lighthouse is the oldest lighthouse in the United States, and visitors have reported hearing young girls giggling in the woods at night. This occurrence has been linked to a tragic accident that happened back in the 1870s.
Which we talked about.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that story, the St. Augustine Lighthouse, I got from GhostCityTours.com. I think the rest of them I got all of them from Ghost City Tours, but we'll
Ghost see. City bitch goes Ghost City bitch.
Oh my god. 10, okay.
10, 20 equals 50 bitch.
Well, the next one is super short because I tried to look up like all the lighthouses in North Carolina and all of them were like super short stories of like their history and...
I don't think our lighthouses are very... We haven't had a lot of tragic stuff happen at ours. Mm-mm. But then again, pirates didn't come to North Carolina that much. I mean, they did, but it wasn't mm-hmm. like...
No, the Cape Hatteras one is the only one that's really had, like, the most happen to it because, well, I'm going to talk about it, but...
And Sherman's March to the Sea didn't hit us here. It went down through Georgia. That's why all that stuff's messed up.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Sherman was a Union general.
P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney?
No.
Oh.
This is much worse.
Oh.
So, Sherman's fire march to the sea mm-hmm. was Lincoln giving him full command to, hey, do what you got to do to get all the way down to the Confederacy. So, on a map, it looks like a literal burn mark where everywhere he went, he burned, pillaged, and killed everything in a straight line going all the way down to try to get the... supply lines and everything like that the French were sending the Confederacy. And when he killed, pillaged, and murdered and raped everything, I mean, he literally did that.
Oh my god.
It was like, oh, this is a really nice town. Sherman shows up, all the men get executed mm-hmm. just because you were in the Confederacy.
Right.
Most of the kids would either be, depending on their age, probably killed or used for labor. And then all the women were raped and then killed. And then the entire town would be burned to the ground.
Oh.
So then they couldn't come back and reoccupy it and use it. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Okay. But I think that the only lighthouse in North Carolina is the Cape Hatteras one that, like, actually has had some stuff happen to it. Because I tried to look up all the other ones and nothing was, like, significant. So, okay. So, Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is in Buxton, North Carolina. I have been there, but I never walked up it because I never cared to. The first light was built on Cape Hatteras in 1803. The current light, however, was built in 1870, but the ocean soon encroached upon the base of the current tower, and in 1999, it was moved more than half a mile away due to the erosion. And
I would love to see a video of them moving a fucking lighthouse.
There's pictures of it. What they did, they literally put it on, because I looked it up, they put it on, it was so funny. They picked it up. With, like, the crane.
Right.
And they put it on this, like, cart. Like, it's literally, like, a cart. Like, a huge cart with, like, wood on it. And they just fucking moved it down the road. Just like that.
I feel like they would use, like, the same thing that they would do for, like...
There's pictures
like
of
like, spaceships down in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that giant walker that just kind of slowly go... Or the creeper, I think is what they call
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Being moved. Hold on. I know there's pictures. Yeah, see? They just put it on this, like, they put it on, like, a thing and just fucking moved it down the road.
Hey, physics. Math.
So, it was pretty cool. Almost like a train type thing they put it on. So.
I mean, they probably did it like the Egyptians did and just had logs under it.
But they had to because of the erosion because, you know, we do live in Hurricane Central. Like over here.
Well, it's a lighthouse. Erosion's caused by the water.
Yeah, but we also have a lot of hurricanes that happen out there too.
Our hockey team?
No. We're not the Hurricanes. Are we?
The Carolina Hurricanes?
Oh, whatever. I don't fucking watch hockey. anyways, today's visitor, today visitors can still climb the 254 steps to the top of Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. Although located a bit further from the ocean than its previous spot, the view from the top is magnificent. But for some, the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse prompts uneasy feelings. That's because it's reportedly very haunted. Among the most famous haunted tales of the lighthouse is that of the Carol A. Deering ship that washed ashore in 1921. The ship was completely empty. Even the equipment was gone. The only thing still in place was an entire meal laid out as if waiting for the people to show up. But there were no humans on the ship at the time it was washed ashore at the lighthouse. And then there's the mysterious ghost of a black and white cat that has inhabited the property for decades. Visitors report seeing the ghost cat all around the property.
I mean, that doesn't sound like something awful to be haunted by.
I know, right?
Oh, no, I'm haunted by a kitty cat. Tragic.
Well, and see, okay, so remember we talked about last time being haunted by Eli and stuff? Because there was another one in the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so when Monkey died, we had to put Monkey down. You remember? My mom was like, she would hear him walking.
I warned her. I was like, you're going to hear Monkey for a couple of days because he's not going to know that he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it messed her up because she thought I was fucking with her.
Because Monkey was a like 20, 25 pound Maine Coon, right?
Yeah. I was the only one allowed to pick him up.
Yeah.
Because I was the only one that he felt would not drop him because I'm a large boy. His paws, I shit you not, were probably an inch and a half to 2 inches in diameter, like just big cat.
That mug walked around the house and he would like stomp.
It would punk,
yeah, literally
punk is what you hear.
And she heard that like for like all a couple night. For a couple weeks after he,
because she called me the next day and she's like, I heard Monkey last night. And I was like, I told you, you're gonna hear him because cats are half in, half out.
Yep.
Mikey did the same thing when Turd died.
Yeah, Turd. Yeah.
I don't know what it, I think Smokey was his name, as a black cat. And as much as Mikey tries to be a hard ass, when that cat was dying, he bought a stroller and took him out when they went camping. And I was like, Mikey, you're going to hear your cat. Because he woke up one day, called out. I texted him and was like, hey, is everything all right? Because I know he was having problems with his cat. He's like, yeah, I got to bury him. It's like, you're going to hear him for a couple of days. Sure as shit. But, I also don't know the dog, the Shih Tzu.
Okay.
Would stand and stare at the steps where Turd was and would hang out. And then his motion cameras would go off on the inside of his house and you could see his toys moving. Because Mike hadn't cleaned up.
Scary.
Yeah. And Mike was like, hey, man, I need you to explain this to me. And I'm like, yeah, it's a cat. When cats die, they are half in, half out. So they...
I'm so scared because Eli does this hello, like that mug is gonna pass away and we're gonna hear that all night long.
Well, maybe I'm just conditioned since I've been seeing shadow people since like high school that stuff like that doesn't bother me. Like it'll catch me off guard where I'm like, oh, and I'll stare at it for a little bit.
Or we'll hear his little plastic, his favorite toys are the crinkly like plastic balls that we got him around Christmas time. And oh my gosh, he loves them. I'm conditioned
to
that.
So like in the middle of the night, if I hear him say hello, I'm just going to be like, Keek, let's go to bed. And I'm going to pat the bed.
And he's not going to come. And then we're going to cry.
It doesn't bother me. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, well, come on, bud.
Oh my God.
It is what it is.
Okay, the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse is the tallest in the country at 198.5 feet, and the second tallest lighthouse in the world. The tallest lighthouse in the world, I did write it down, was the Jeddah Lighthouse, but I, for some reason, didn't freaking write down where that is, but it's not in the United States. I know that. I want to say it's in, like, India. I think it is in India. But it's the Jeddah Lighthouse, and the Jeddah Lighthouse is 435 feet tall, and that is the tallest lighthouse in the world. So that's a small fun factoid. But we, North Carolina, has the second tallest lighthouse in the world. I'm sorry, in the country.
The only problem with that is if you're not first, you're last.
Well, I'm sorry. Cape Hatteras is the tallest in the country. Can I read? Like, obviously not. Anyways, I got this information from onlyinyourstate.com.
So now we're going to talk about the Absecon Lighthouse.
Yes.
In Atlantic City, New Jersey. Speaking of Mikey.
Well, so Carolina's husband's also from Jersey, so I always call him Joe from Jersey. I make fun of him.
I mean, Mikey.
I met him the other day, too.
That's where Mikey goes for vacation is Atlantic Beach. Or Atlantic City, New Jersey. I was
gonna say Atlantic Beach is here.
Yeah, no. Atlantic City, New Jersey. Sorry.
Dumbass.
Lord, give me patience. Amongst the high-rise resorts of Atlantic City, there is something else looming over the city blocks. Apsican Lighthouse. At over 160 years old and 170 feet tall, Apsican is New Jersey's tallest lighthouse and Atlantic City's oldest building. The black and white tower spent decades protecting sailors off the New Jersey coast, but has been a public museum since 1999. The lighthouse and keeper's quarters now serve as a pathway through the region's maritime past. Apsican Lighthouse is a popular local attraction, with countless tourists hiking up the lighthouse steps each year. But some say ghosts are walking the stairs with them. Are these lighthouse spirits the specters of former keepers, souls lost to shipwrecks in the nearby sea? We will never know.
I'm pretty sure it's Apsican.
I mean, it could be.
Copy.
I'm from the south, though, boys. Apsican, gut darn.
It is Apsican.
Ha ha!
Apsican. That's what I was saying. You're saying Apsican.
No, it's still Apsican.
It's not an abacus. It's Apsican.
I'm not old enough to know what an abacus is. Did you use one of those in high school?
Huh?
Huh?
I'm surprised you know what one is. An abacus.
Well, yeah, I had to do history on you since, you know, we were dating. I needed to, you know, get some things that, you know, I could, like, relate with you.
I'm not that old.
Right.
Anyways, is Apsican... Apsican?
Apsican.
Who the fuck knows how to say this?
Absinthe name? Lighthouse. Start saying random shit.
Like Kyla and her names. Oh my god. Okay. Is Apsican Lighthouse haunted? Ghost stories are common around Apsican Lighthouse. However, no one quite knows where the spirits come from. Some suggest that the specters are the residual energy of old lighthouse keepers. Others say the hauntings of Apsican come from the people killed in shipwrecks in nearby seas. But before the lighthouse was there... Oh. Hold on.
Are you good?
No.
You smell burnt toast? You having a stroke?
Others say the hauntings of Apsican come from the people killed in shipwrecks in the nearby seas before the lighthouse was there to guide them. But no matter where they come from, the ghosts seem to enjoy leaving signs of their presence. This one had a lot of like little bits about it, so I just switched what we read about.
Unexplained sounds are common reports around the lighthouse. Workers and visitors alike have heard voices echoing from up at the top of the tower. But when they ascend the steps, they find themselves alone at the peak. And with only one way up and down, where could the voices have come from? The wind. Alongside the odd voices, phantom footsteps have been heard going up and down the tower's many stairs. Elsewhere in the building, ghostly laughter and even disembodied baby cries have been heard. See, old creaky lighthouse?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to stuff like random stuff like that.
Like babies?
It literally is like... Like, when you hear babies crying, it's the whistle. It's probably a whistle of an old window, something like that.
Because
I've worked in enough old houses, like, renovating them and doing construction and stuff like that, or even a new construction.
Yeah.
You hear, like, Kendall likes messing with me and Josh when we're in the dump truck, the flatbed. And when we're driving down the road, he'll raise it just a little bit. He'll hit it, and it sounds like a woman going, "Hey! Hey!" And he'll do it. And we're like going 45 miles an hour down the road to the next site. And it's like, because I looked at Josh for the first time he did it. And I was like, "Josh, do you hear that?" He's like, "Does this sound like a woman saying, hey?" No, it's the hydraulics.
Oh, my God.
But if you don't know what you're looking for, your brain is going to rationalize it. And that's right. And he was messing with us and he got us good. And I told Kendall he's an asshole. But.
Because he is. He is a little butthole.
But yeah, so that's the new thing. So now whenever we have new people or anything like that, if somebody else rides with him and doesn't know that, because we haven't told anybody, because why ruin the joke?
Yeah.
He does it to people and be like, "Man, I was driving in the truck and I heard a woman say, hey." I'm like, "That's crazy. That's weird."
Dang, that's crazy. Okay, strange smells and shadow figures. Phantom smells are frequently encountered in Apsican. The most common reported is the stench of tobacco smoke around the tower and keeper's quarters. Are you sure that you weren't a lighthouse keeper in, like, your previous life?
I mean, I do. I do. I only smoke cigars mainly because I can try different flavor profiles. I prefer a pipe. Mm-hmm. I love my pipes.
Electrical malfunctions have also been experienced at the lighthouse. In one noted instance, a cash register repeatedly broke down without no known cause. During this, the register's digital display reportedly showed the word ghost. Apparitions are also what?
No.
They said no.
I'm letting you know right now, as an apparition from the 1800s, he is not going to mess with your cash register and put ghost on the screen.
No. I know.
That's not... No.
Apparitions are also regular sights around the property. While some are just seen as shadows, others are spotted much more vividly. In one instance, a worker entered the old oil house and came face to face with a bearded man in coveralls. The man vanished in an instant, leaving the worker sure they'd seen a ghost.
I wonder if when they say they saw a ghost on the display, if it was like a 6, a 4, a 0, a 5, and like a 7.
Right. Like if it was in the numbers.
Like numbers, and you're just looking at it and you're like, oh, that says ghost.
Like when you put boobs in a calculator. 8008. 5? I'm sorry.
What are you, 5?
I'm sorry.
No, it's 513-8008. It's boobies.
Why did you just read that off so fast? How many times did you put that in a fucking calculator?
Don't worry about it. It's not important. God. You do it, you slide over and you go, huh, boobies. I'm a dude. What do you want from me?
You still do that. Huh, boobies.
Yeah. Every guy. No, okay. If a significant other ever sends a scandalous photo of their chest to their husband, they're not sitting there going, yeah, baby girl, doing that, you know, the fucking, the hands and the blip biting.
I know, I've sent you that video before.
It was like, no, they don't do that. It's boobies. That's literally every guy's reaction. There is not a single man on this planet that has not go, boobies. Or it's that, or it's, nice. It's not, yeah, damn, a goddess.
A goddess. Baby.
It's boobies.
Shut up.
I'm just saying, dude. Spirits of Civil War soldiers have also reportedly been seen. However, Apsican Lighthouse didn't play a major role in the Civil War or any war of the era. The identity of these figures remains mysterious. Witnesses who have seen these figures say they are often simply wandering like they're lost. Other shadow figures have also been reported both inside the buildings and out on the grounds.
Okay, so photogenic phantoms at the lighthouse. Oh, I mean, I gave you the Jersey Devil stuff. Anyways, it's fine.
Then you can read it.
No, I'm good.
You can read the rest of it.
No, I'm good. Photogenic phantoms at the lighthouse. Some people have reportedly captured images of the shadow figures at around Apsican. In one well-known instance, a photo was taken of the passage to the lighthouse stairwell. In it, there appear a pair of legs descending the steps, but apparently no one was in the tower at the time of the photo. Could this have been an image of the specter so often trekking up and down the lighthouse's many steps? Numerous other purported ghostly images have been taken around the property since. I'll look up some pictures and see if I can find them, because...
While many Apsican ghost stories come from the recent encounters, spooky stories have swirled around the tower for years. One of the oldest claims comes from 1905. And while it isn't about ghosts, it is certainly supernatural. The tale goes...
Certainly? Are you certain about that, Sean Connery?
I'm serious about it, too. The tale goes that one night, a lighthouse keeper stepped out to see a strange creature atop the tower. After taking a shot at it with their gun, a man after my own heart, the creature howled and then flew off into the night. While mystery remains about what this creature was, the description given fits a popular regional legend, the Jersey Devil. Why is that such a dude thing?
What?
There's a creature on the roof. I don't know what it is. This rifle figured it out.
My God.
I mean, it works.
I can't.
It's such, okay, like, it's such an American thing. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah. There's a picture here. But there's, and it's circled, but I don't freaking see. Maybe, is that supposed to be like the Jersey Devil sighting? Because, like, that's kind of what it looks like.
A pair of legs. You can't see the pair of legs. You don't see shadow people.
No, I don't.
There is a pair of legs ascending those stairs.
No, the fuck, there's not.
There literally is. I can see them. You wouldn't have to circle that and be like, those are legs.
Okay.
Sure. It's not two, it's like 1.5. So think of it like,
like if you're like, it's like taking a step. Oh, I can see it now.
Like this.
Yeah. Okay, I can see it now.
Yeah.
It's like they're walking down like, oh, because like they're walking, like they're almost the walking steps down sideways, because I guess because the spiral staircase, so yeah, they're probably walking. Okay, I see
so
it now.
So it's not like a pair of like legs standing there. It's like somebody's ascending or descending the staircase.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see that now. I can save this picture and I can put it on like Instagram or something for you guys to see. So that, I'm guessing that was the picture that they were talking about where they,
yeah,
saw two
where nobody
legs
else was in there. Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Haunted happenings at Abseekin Lighthouse. Abseekin Lighthouse continues to see a success as a preserved historic attraction today. While its height has long since been dwarfed by surrounding skyscrapers, the tower's respected past helps it stand tall still today. And while you can't book a formal ghost hunt at the lighthouse, they do offer regular tours and tower climbs. They even offer some overnight educational programs. At Halloween, it also hosts tours that allow a closer look at the lighthouse's haunted history. While ghosts are just part of the attraction, the lighthouse's claims have seen greater interest in recent years. From news reports to an appearance on Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters, the Phantoms of Abseekin have gained a reputation all on their own. So it seems apparitions will be a cornerstone of the Abseekin experience for a while to come. And if you visit, maybe you'll be lucky enough to capture a ghostly image for your camera roll or experience your own sighting of the Jersey Devil.
Ooh.
Ooh, 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 which we've talked about.
You and Charlie did.
Mm-hmm. And I got that information from hauntedus.com. All right. Did you have anything you wanted to say about any of these stories?
I mean, if you make the podcast longer, I can go through the rabbit hole of the lighthouse theory that I have for the afterlife.
What lighthouse theory?
You've never heard that theory?
No.
So
we also have time to kill, so. Sure.
Little conspiracy theory, fun fact, afterlife talk. Ugh. So the lighthouse theory,
mm-hmm,
that I found while I was doing things in high school that are not stellar.
Mm-hmm.
A scientist believed that, and it's what BioShock's based off of too, which is kind of neat. So, you know, there's always a lighthouse, there's always a girl. So if you believe in different time,
mm-hmm,
lines.
Yes. Yes.
The overarching branch, so like...
You're like where two timelines intersect or something?
Yeah, so in BioShock, they use it as the lighthouse, and they call it the lighthouse effect. So in every point in your life, no matter what choices you make, it was going to lead you to this point. But mm-hmm, there's interlocking arches in between.
Right.
Like each one. So what this one, I don't know if he's a psychiatrist or he's a scientist, believed is that when you die... Because your brain is still active for 8 minutes?
Yes. I thought it was 7 minutes.
Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
7, 8 minutes. However long the French guy, when he got decapitated, blinked his eyes for. So he believes that because time is relevant, mm-hmm, so like when you sleep, it feels like 8 hours turns into a couple seconds, couple minutes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if you die... And it's reversed, so every second is every couple hours. So what he believes is that somebody in your life that you care about is going to walk you down a path to go and explore all the other timelines that could have been, with the overarching theme of there's always a lighthouse. There's always, like, no matter what you did today, you knew you were going to come home.
Right.
As long as you made it that far. If you didn't die, you know.
Right.
But no matter what was going to happen in all the other timelines, no matter what happens in between, you were going to come home.
Mm-hmm.
On Mondays, you are going to go to work. You're going to be at that building, so that is that place. That is that fixed point in time, and vice versa. But, like, thinking of all the different stuff that you could have done in your life, like if I stayed in college,
mm-hmm,
if I stayed with an ex, or you stayed with an ex, or whatever, I took the job in England and moved,
mm-hmm,
and lived in Wessex, or I stayed in DC, I went to Ohio,
mm-hmm,
whatever I did for work, what would have changed the overarching all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they think that's why in BioShock. And I talk about it at the end of BioShock Infinite, which is a video game, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I was high as a kite the first time I finished that game, so I had to replay it.
Gone.
Because I had no idea what the... I was blowing my mind. Because I was sitting there and I was like, ugh. Like microwave brain mm-hmm. is pretty bad.
Well, also, that's why people think that they can, like... I guess people can see ghosts sometimes, because, like, sometimes those timelines will overlap each other. So they're seeing... People will end up seeing people that they know are dead, so...
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is a lot of people think that ghosts are... They're not stuck. They're just still living out their timeline.
Yeah. He's being so sweet. He looks like he took a good long nip-nap.
Well... That's all for us, folks.
Okay. So just remember, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at info@3amtalesofterror.com for any questions, comments, concerns, story ideas, anything you want to talk to us about. You can also reach out on Facebook and Instagram for either of those as well. So other than that, we'll see you next time. Bye. Hold on. Uh-oh. Keek wants to say hello. Goodbye.